Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Tuning in to Pastor Zay CDC. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Sunday and thank everyone for tuning in tonight. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Memorial Day weekend. And as always, we wish that you would continue to just have a great and safe weekend. We know that a lot of things are going on, a lot of family and friends, a lot of cookouts going on, a lot of high school graduations and all kinds of great things going on this weekend, and particularly in this metropolitan Washington area. They have, as always, during the holiday, Memorial Day holiday, Rolling Thunder with all the motorcycles that gather around at the Pentagon. And it's just been a real, real busy weekend. And just want everyone to be safe and watch out for each other because we know that these type of days and weekends are to be enjoyed and not to be abused. And just want to be careful all the way around. We already had a couple of accidents reported in the D.C. area where people suffered fatalities, and I just want to wish everyone a safe Memorial Day weekend. And just going to be talking a little bit about, you know, the memory during the whole Memorial Day weekend leading up to it, during it, and just want to talk about that a little bit. But as always, if you want to be a part of the conversation, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569, and we'll be glad to get you on the radio and just have a little talk. And you know, we talk about Memorial Day weekend, and you know what it's about as far as, you know, what we all do. Everybody does something different. Excuse me, but I think many times during these days of holiday, we sometimes get off track of what we really should be doing, and particularly with Memorial Day, remembering, you know, those veterans and people that have made unyielding sacrifices. Unselfish sacrifices for their country, their fellow man. And we just like to remember them and make sure we don't take it for granted the things that, you know, people have done for us. And a lot of times we take a whole lot of for granted. I think that's just in human nature, where people take things for granted, and, you know, you get to a place where it just becomes another three-day weekend, or you don't have to go to work on Monday or on that Friday, and really not focus in on what, you know, we should be talking about or what we should be thinking about. But just want to invite people to talk about what they remember about someone that they remember. I know that in the military, I grew up in a military family, and some of the things we remember is just the constant travel, and I know people in the military know all about it, but I think sometimes civilians don't appreciate the constant upheaval of families that are in the military. I know in our family, we moved about every, I would say, 3 to 5 years, which is a lot for a family trying to get, you know, there was five of us trying to get five kids through school. And what happens is you end up going from place to place to place, and you really never get to put down roots. And that was one of the things that I remembered about military families, is that there was a constant, they're constantly moving. They're constantly going from place to place to place. One of the things with my dad, he even moved more, was his constantly, you know, having to go to war theaters where war was being waged at a particular time, whether it was in Korea, whether it was in Vietnam, whether it was here stateside at the Pentagon. But it is a constant moving around, constant trying to settle in, meet new friends. And then as soon as you settle in and meet new friends, you got to pick back up and move again. And that was one of the things that I remember dreading, was all the packing and unpacking. It was crazy. It was like, so as soon as we unpacked, it felt like, you know, it was time to pack back up. And you know, you remember people, you know, in the military who have to go through that. And then some of the tours that, you know, my father went on, like I said, for Korea or for Vietnam, that you couldn't be there with your family. And so not only did you have to suffer or go through the thing of touring with, you know, from place to place with your loved one, but then there's the times where your family, where you're not going to be there with them, and, you know, going through all of that is a great big sacrifice, a big sacrifice. It's a thing where you know, the troops are just obedient. They're not saying that it's a sacrifice, but they're saying they're just being obedient to what their commander in chief says, what their country demands, and they just see it as being obedient. They don't see it as a sacrifice. They see it as serving their country. And, you know, many of them, you know, they do it with honor, they do it with valor, they do it with, you know, this unassuming devotion to country. And it's really something to see, especially when you see it from, you know, the inside, the different things that people go through, the different turnover and people coming back from war, and how they're affected, and then the families of those who loved ones do not return, you know, and how it affects them. It is definitely something that we should remember. But that's what we're talking about tonight. We invite you, as always, to call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. And we'll be glad to get you in on the conversation. Just remembering those heroes, those unsung heroes who have gone before us and who have defended our country, who have unselfishly left their family and loved ones, and out of a sense of duty and service to their country, have gone, you know, over to fight foreign wars in the air and land and sea, and have been pivotal and critical to the existence of our United States of America, where we still remain the home of the free, land of the free, and the home of the brave, where we still enjoy freedom, and in spite of what might not be perfection in the country, is still the greatest country, I believe, on the face of this earth. And we are just very, very grateful to all the men and women who have sacrificed down through the years, over and over again, above and beyond, so that we might continue to have our liberty and our freedom and the ability to walk and move without hindrance in our country. And so just, you know, a big thank you to all of them, a big appreciate you to all of them. And, you know, that's what we're talking about tonight, you know, what we appreciate about them. And one of the things I was saying was about the constant moving, the constant uplifting, the constant having to leave your loved ones behind is something that, you know, you see a lot of people that go to work and they come home and, you know, leave the kids at daycare, you know, that's a whole big drama thing right there. But to, you know, try to raise kids with a father who's still the dad and being deployed somewhere is a great challenge. And that was one of the things that I saw with my mom as a military wife, how she learned how to be unselfish when it came to raising her family with her ability to understand about her husband's career and his position in the military, and also about the children and their needs, that oftentimes mom's needs went on the back burner. It was like, you know, dad is being deployed, dad is going to a war, and she understood that she needed to be very supportive and understanding, and to be as drama-free as possible. And I would see her do that over and over again. I would see her just continue to make him shine, you know, whether it was keeping all the kids, you know, together, or making sure he was at every meeting, or making sure that, you know, all of his uniforms were pressed and shoes were shined, and you know, making sure that, you know, whatever homework assignments or whatever, you know, he needed to be prepared for, that she was there to help him, you know, to get prepared. And he grew, and his name became recognized. She reminded me of that proverb woman in the book of Proverbs in the Bible, that said that her husband was known in the gate. And he was known in the gates because he was sharp. He was prepared. His family was sharp. His kids were together. You know, his home was always together. And you know, as a military wife, particularly she was an officer's wife, there was always this level of scrutiny that came from up and down the ranks, and particularly with a person of color, African American officer. My dad, he rose to the ranks of a full colonel in the Army, and you know, as he arose to that ranks, there was many challenges in his life and in the life of family. But again, remembering, you know, the men and women that go off to war without memory, remembering the spouses that are there to support and to hold the fort now, would not be fair, would not be just for us to do that. And, you know, watching her, and she, you know, unselfishly, I know my mom was, she was a career as a teacher, and, you know, she put all of her, you know, ambitions or career aside, you know, to support her husband. And again, I just can't emphasize it enough, the sacrifice that it takes for, you know, spouses to support their loved ones that are fighting, that are in the military, is because the reason why they needed to do it is because it's a difficult task to have to do that. And you need as less drama from your wife and from your kids as possible to focus on, you know, what's at hand. Because what's at hand in many cases, particularly when you're fighting in a foreign war, is the freedom of your country, the freedom of your family. And so you're fighting for your country, you're fighting for your family, but you can't be worried about your family, your wife, and your kids while you're on the battlefront, because you will get distracted and ultimately lose the upper hand on the enemy. And so it was very important for her to keep him supported, knowing that she had his back 100%, knowing that his children were taken care of 100%, that his house was taken care of 100%, eased that burden on him so that he could wage the war or engage in the elements or the theater of war with, you know, out in a lot of drama. And, you know, that's important. Some people might not see that, but she again, did it, not a lot of fanfare, did it, was just strong and sure-handed, and just made him shine, you know, raised us, you know, the best she could with what she had, always loved us, showed us tremendous love beyond degree, and just was the consummate military wife, military mother, and we had to remember the spouses, you know, on Memorial Day, because a lot of times the greatness and the success on the battlefield started with the support on the home front by the spouses who took care of the children and did whatever they could to take care of the men and women in uniform. So a big shout out, hats off, hand clap, pat on the back for all of the spouses of those who have served this country with honor and distinction. We just say our hats off to you, big shout out, and we thank you for being there many times unsung, unheard of, not even thought of many times. But, you know, we know that it takes the whole family to make the military man or woman, and we thank God for you. Anyway, we're getting ready to come up on a break, but we just wanted to invite anyone who wanted to talk about their memories of any of our military personnel or any of our armed services or any person that has served this country valiantly. We invite you to call in and to talk about them. And so the number to call in is 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you. Have you ever loved? Somebody like you, yeah.
And we're back again. Thank you for holding on through the break. Again, this is yours, Pastor C, in the studio in Forestville, Maryland, in the D.C. metropolitan Washington area, on this Memorial Day weekend, just talking about the memory of those great loved ones that have served our country so valiantly, and particularly talking about military, and just talking about a few minutes ago how the support staff to all of the military folks were, and dealing with parents, and it was just a great time for them to be heroes to the heroes, if you will. And then one of the other great things that I remember bringing a military kid was, they call it the military brat, was the non-military folk that were around to support us. And a lot of the school teachers, a lot of the people that worked, civilians that worked on the military bases, they were always there to support the families of those that were had gone abroad and those that were in the war. And one of the things I remember were the teachers, and they had to deal with many times kids who were going through challenges. And what I mean by that is being the upheaval of from one place to the other, many of the kids had to go through periods of adjustment. Periods of adjustment where, you just had a great relationship with someone 2 or 3 years ago, and you have to get up and leave that person. That person you no longer. It wasn't like, I guess, nowadays you have social media where you can really keep track of people a lot closer. But back then you had mail, and a lot of times you had phone calls, but it wasn't like it was today. But you would remember the teachers that had to deal with the influx of students all during the year. It was like, oh my gosh, this is really interesting, because you had this influx of students and you were new, and then, you go through a half a year, and then, there's two other kids that were coming in that were new, and, anytime there's new stuff and kids try to adjust and get along with each other, and, it was a big deal. These kids are very durable, very flexible, though. They can handle a lot more than we give them credit for, but the teachers, again, they were civilian teachers. They were excellent at dealing with the constant turnover in students and the flexibility that was needed, and the ability to deal and manage with people trying to get situated with being in a different environment, and the challenges that came along with that. I just remember that so vividly, of just coming in and being, the first day or in the middle of the school year, a little, hesitant, reluctant, not knowing any friends, not knowing, my way around, and, those civilian teachers, just made us feel right at home, with constant, contact, trying to get us acclimated to the school, to the environment, to, anywhere that we needed to deal with or needed special needs. And a lot of times you don't see that behind the scenes, that, if you're a military person, you're deployed, or if you're on another base, or where you just relocated your children, you know, if your children are not getting situated, if they're not getting settled in, if they're having difficulties with education, what happens is, again, that puts a stress on the military person, the enlisted person, the person that's in the military. And so, you know, you had a lot of civilians that dealt with the military base as far as education, as far as just running different parts of support to the military function in the area. And they always did an excellent job, and they still do an excellent job. The civilian support to our military still does an excellent job. And, you know, a lot of times on Memorial Day that we remember, the military personnel. And then sometimes we also remember the families, those who supported the family, and, the family members. And then we also need to remember the civilian personnel that also comes in and supports the families. And, you know, they come in so many ways, and they help out, and, you know, they run the activity centers. We had a activity center where we would go to the AYA, and at the AYA they had it's like a military youth association, and the civilians would support that whole area of children's youth as far as sports and interaction. And it was great because, you know, they were always there, whether it was football, basketball, baseball, cheerleading, or whatever it was. They were there to be at the service of the military personnel and on that base or in that area, and that helped to take a lot of the stress off of the military person, because the children were able to, you know, have the same type of environment that they would have if they were stateside in the area, not only if they were in, you know, like Europe or another country, but even on military bases, you know, stateside, they have these associations, youth associations, that were able to provide the children a youth atmosphere like civilians would, but it was on a military base. And so, you know, all that was always fun. It was always interesting. It was always great to be able to see the teachers, see the support, the civilian support staff, just do whatever it took. And, I mean, they bent over backwards. They would go the extra 3, 4, 5 miles to make sure that, you know, we were growing up and experiencing everything that normal non-military families would experience. And, you know, we just say a big shout out to them, hats off to them, for what they're doing, what they did. I know when I was growing up, it was just very enjoyable, you know, the sports, the teachers, the interaction with the, you know, just simple as far as going to the commissary or going to the barber shop or going to the bowling alley. It was those people were there for the military families, and they were there all the time. I don't care what time of day it was, they were there. And it was just something that we should remember them for, because a lot of times, I know a lot of times you don't hear anything about the civilian support staff. You don't hear anything about them, or should I say you don't hear enough about them and their role that they play. And, you know, this is the whole thing is that, you know, everyone isn't always in the front scene or in the foreground, but you have people working in the background that make others successful, or make the lives of others successful, or helps ease the burden and the anxiety of those that are on the front line. You know, like I said, from the teachers to the youth associations to the, you know, just the basic services that are provided, it is a help. And without that help, it was very, very difficult to serve on the front lines. And so a big shout out to the civilian personnel that helps to make our country great what it is today. Many of the great tools and apparatuses and weaponry and vehicles, many times they're built by our civilian support staff, non-military staff, and you know they from the latest handgun to the latest rifle to the latest armored vehicles, to jets and jet engines. Helicopters, tanks, technology, you name it, many of that comes through our civilian staff, our civilian support people, and we just, you know, take our hats off to you. I mean, it takes a lot to keep this country up and running, a lot to keep our military, our armed services, you know, our Navy and Air Force, Marines, National Guard, and all of these folks supported and up and running. It takes a lot, and our hats go off to all of the civilian folk who just continue day after day working behind the scenes with a smile on your face, tireless efforts to know that whatever you do is going to be seen on the battlefield and can possibly save someone's life or prevent injury, and you do it, over and over again, and you do it, you know, with your nose to the grind, and a lot of times it's not a lot of pay and not a lot of secure pay because you go from contract to contract, and in spite of that, you just continue to go on, and so hats goes off to you on this Memorial Day, making it a part of, you know, what is the fabric of our country that keeps us free, that keeps us as the leaders of the world because of the people, not only on the front lines, but on the behind the scene lines that is continuing to support the freedom of our country. And so, you know, that's what we're talking about tonight. We're just doing a memory of what, you know, people who have served our country have done, the families and the support staff, the civilian support staff, support people. It's just a collective effort, if you will, that has kept our country as free and as, you know, great as it is today. And we invite anyone, if they want to call in at 347-324-5569. Just let us know what they remember and how grateful they are. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you. Have you ever loved?
or he wasn't able to be with them at home, and you know, they would just, you know, open up their doors, aunts, uncles, wherever they may have been, you know, when we were, you know, during the summer or, you know, during breaks, you know, they were always making their homes and their services available, and you know, they just made a special effort to show us the kindness and the concern that we really needed when, you know, Dad, you know, our dad wasn't with us. And, you know, even, like I said, the neighbors, you know, they would, you know, check up on us, make sure we, you know, got haircuts, make sure, you know, we tended to our yard work, you know, cars, you know, neighbor would come over if there was something going on with the car or the vehicle, make sure the maintenance on the vehicle was straightened up. And, you know, even down to the blade on the lawnmower, you know, they would come and take the blade off, make sure, you know, take it somewhere and get it sharpened, just, you know, little things around the house. It was just amazing to see the extended family members support this, you know, military family, because they understood that, you know, what we were going through. They understood what stress we were under, and they was always there. I mean, you know, they had uncles and aunts and grandmothers and grandparents, and, you know, they would, you know, come over and, you know, bring stuff from the garden, help us start gardens, you know, always there to check on homework, always there to just, you know, make sure we felt safe, that we knew that no one had forgot about us, you know, neighbors in the backyard, on the sides. And in a very different times, you know, that's what went on in our family, you know, when it came to military families. And then it was like a cycle, because we had people that were in our family, you know, in our neighborhood, whose loved ones would be deployed also. And you know, we would take, you know, food and whatever, and just reach out to them when their loved one was deployed. And it was like a community of family where everybody understood what was going on, you know. We made the best of it. We watched out for each other. We looked out for each other. You know, like I said, from your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, your neighbors, everybody looked out, and it was like the community was so close, and we knew each other, and you know, we knew, you know, each other's concern, and it was like we had a common concern during this wartime, and it was a common concern that you know, there was uncertainty in, you know, when someone was coming back or where someone would be moving away, and so we just came together to make the best of it day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year, and just prayed for that loved one to be able to return safely without any hurt or harm upon them. And you know, that's what I remember. That's, you know, I remember on Memorial Day of just the great effort that it took and that it takes to keep our family free, down from the greatest person out on the front lines to the least person on the back line, that, you know, making sure that little boy has, you know, his layaway picked up before he goes back to school, or make sure he's, you know, has his hair cut before, you know, he goes to his, you know, Boy Scout or Cub Scout, or goes to, you know, whatever church function, make sure that, you know, the little girl has, you know, her little dress or whatever before she goes to her dance recital or whatever, you know, cheerleading activity or football. And, you know, a lot of times you want your dad to see you there playing ball, football, or basketball, baseball, whatever, but, you know, there was always a neighbor, there was always an uncle, grandfather, someone that was there that gave you that support that you needed while your dad was deployed. And, you know, it's those things that I remember now that I reflect back on during Memorial Days, and, you know, the stories of, you know, men who my father had become friends with during, you know, his tour of Vietnam, who didn't make it, who were killed or injured in combat. And, you know, the camaraderie that they built, and, you know, the friendship that they built, you know, whether they were black or white, it didn't make a difference on the battlefield, because you all were facing the same fire, and you all trying to survive and fighting for the same cause. And it was a different environment with those who served their country in that manner. It's a different family environment. It's a different type of understanding of how important each other is, how important each other's lives are, how important family is, how important this whole military thing is. And, you know, a lot of times you see the motorcycles down on the mall, you know, POW, MIA, you know, prisoners of war, missing in action. And, you know, sometimes you just get numb to it about these bikers that are, you know, rolling thunder, continue to roll in and to keep, you know, those flags raised for those who were captured in battle or missing in battle and have not returned home. And, you know, for them just to keep that going, it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes because it's a great effort. It's a great sacrifice. It's a great thing of obedience to your country. And just have to continue to remember these things and don't let the memory of them fall out or fall away. And be thankful for all of those who have unyieldingly given themselves down through the years to get us to this place where we are, get us to this place where we can, you know, walk the streets freely. And again, I go back and I say this again: it was a different sense of family, a different sense of community, different sense of everyone being a resource. During that time of loved ones being deployed, it seems like now it's almost like, you know, when we have men and women in Afghanistan and Iraq and still deployed around the world, you know, but actively fighting in Iraq and sacrificing their lives in Afghanistan. It almost seems like that's a distant thing that we're not even a part of, and we'll hear about someone getting shot or someone being injured, and it's almost like we're not there. It's like you know, that's somewhere else, and you know, it's really not affecting us. And it's like, you know, someone else is fighting that war, and it's not a war that, you know, is something that, you know, we're really involved in, and you know, it's like it's no skin in the game. It's like, you know, this is just a holiday for me to, you know, throw some hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill and just kind of chill out and not have to go to work, you know. And it's more to it than that. It really is more to it than that. It's someone in a foreign country providing a service to us so that we can have that hot dog, that hamburger, and that day off from work. But you and I, we need to just, you know, remember more of what it takes, and I think we'll appreciate it more when we remember more about what it takes. And again, it was it's a different situation. I'm sure our military personnel received, you know, great support, continue to receive great support. I know our president, our Congress, do whatever they can to make sure the support is there. I know they have difficulties in the area of sexual harassment, things of those nature. But those things arise anytime you're in these type of situations, and you know, they need to be addressed. And you know, I'm glad to see that, you know, more and more focus is going to be on those who try to prevent those type of things from happening in the military. Just another stress, just another issue that you know, they have to deal with. And, you know, it's again, something where we need to support them and to make sure we have apparatus and people in place to deal with those things so that none of them or anyone would have to go through that in our military. But again, it's something that you know, is prevalent. And I remember my dad used to have to deal with men and women in his battalion, when he was a battalion commander, that they had to deal with. It was drugs, a lot of drugs, and people would, you know, have problems just trying to deal and adjust. You know, so when we were in West Germany, and, you know, he would always have to go through and make sure, you know, talk to families, counsel for the soldiers, and, you know, it's just a constant thing. And, you know, a lot of times people don't understand how stressful it is, you know, how young these men and women are when they get into the military. And, you know, sometimes people prey on young people and take advantage of them. And that whole society that is non-military, that you have to put things in place to help prevent and to educate people on, you know, the law and what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And, you know, it's just a lot that goes into it. And, you know, you really don't think about that. When you see them off, you see them in the uniform, you see them get on the bus, and you see them get on the airplane, and you're praying that they come back. And, you know, sometimes they don't come back. Sometimes they don't come back, and there needs to be more remembrance and more support of them because they live with that on a daily basis. And I guess that's what I was trying to say when I said it was like a difference in community, a difference in the sense of what's going on, is that, you know, they deal with it on a daily basis. It's something, when you have a loved one that's deployed in the military, it's something you think about every day, something that you wake up praying for their safety, and you pray during the day, and then you also go to bed praying that they would be safe. And, you know, you can only imagine, you know, when you hear someone who has tragically lost their life or been, you know, seriously injured, what their families go through. And, you know, again, you know, we have folks still fighting around the world and really heavily trooped in Afghanistan that we plan on drawing down, in 2014, have drawn down dramatically and ended our military efforts in Iraq. And it's just been a time of our country been at war for a long time. And we are just glad to see that we're finally drawing down in Afghanistan, and looking forward to new chapter in the lives of our country and then our men and women in uniform. You know, it was always a blessing to just remember the peace that was won, that has been hailed during Memorial Day, and hopefully in 2015, 2014, more of our men and women will be home from this war in Afghanistan, and we'll be able to have them close at hand and home again. And I always remember that, you know, when Dad came home, you know, it was just a great thing. It was like a relief, as you can imagine, to see someone that you hadn't seen in over a year, just to embrace them and to love them and just be grateful to God that they were able to return safely. And it's a big deal, man. And, you know, you often see the people, you know, going and coming back, and, you know, on the ships or the submarines or in the air, and, you know, it just pulls your heart out sometimes to know what they're going to face, and they do it over and over again with, you know, commitment, with obligation to duty, with obedience, and you know they don't even think they're sacrificing; they think they're rendering service to their country, and it's something to remember and be proud of and be appreciative of with our military folk, with our civilian folks, with our extended family members, with everyone that's involved with keeping our country free and keeping our military strong and keeping us with a peace that when we go to bed at night, we know that somebody around the country in the air and in the oceans, on land, is on that front line, keeping watch, keeping vigilant over our freedom and our safety. And, you know, that's something to remember, that's something to memorize, that's something to be thankful for. And, you know, when we're eating that hot dog or that hamburger, just don't look at it as a day off from work or time for me to, you know, do something in the yard. But with all of that, you know, and there's nothing wrong with all of that, just, you know, remember what it took, you know, the bloodshed, the sweat, the tears, the unyielding commitment to service, to duty, to sacrifice for our country, what it takes and what it's going to continue to take. And that will give you a whole different perspective. When you come upon, you know, a particular day like this. And, you know, it's not just, again, the military, but it's with, you know, first responders and people that serve all over the country, no matter what you do. People have done it with excellence. People have done it unyieldingly. It's just a good day to memorialize them and to be thankful for what they have been to us and what they continue to be to us. And, you know, like I said earlier, it takes all of us to do it. And, you know, all of us have to continue to do it, whatever role we need to play. I know we complain about our taxes and what we had to pay, this, that, and the other, but, you know, supporting our military with our tax dollars should be a little less painful when we begin to start thinking about, you know, what they're going through. And, you know, we don't want to spend money frivolously on anything in our country. But one of the things that we know that we have to support are our troops and our men and women in uniform, because they deserve the best. And one of the ways that we as civilians can support them is through our dollars that we send to our government to be able to buy them the best, support them with the best that we have. And that's what we should be commanding of our congressmen and senators, that, you know, they would make sure that they are legislating, giving laws, making laws that they are equipped with the best that, you know, can be offered. And, you know, that goes without saying. And I believe, you know, that down through the years has kept us strong and kept us prepared and has kept us free. Well, that's going to do it for tonight. Again, we thank you for tuning in to Pastors Aid CDC on this Memorial Day weekend. Thank everyone for your patience on Friday. We'll spend some time with my son, getting him ready for his senior year, and had to go through a ceremony for him, from one class, passing the torch down to the other class, and just had to be there for that. A lot of things that, you know, we're doing with him, like we did for my daughter during this school year and this coming summer, this coming school year, getting ready and getting him ready to graduate and move on to his next level in finding education and finding what he wants to do with his life. So that was what we were doing on Friday. And so we thank everyone for just being patient with us. I know it's something where you got to just hang in there as a parent. And that's what we're doing. So pray our strength in the Lord. Pray our strength for our son going into his senior year. And on this Memorial Day, we can just remember everyone that's played a role in allowing us to have this precious weekend that we enjoy in freedom in the United States of America. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. And so now that you have the resource, as always, we say get connected. Good night. And prayerfully, we'll talk to you again on Thursday night. God bless.